And if you'll take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4 again. So how many of you have never hung or served or never heard or sung Yield Not to Temptation? Never heard it or sung it. All right. Well, actually, you just heard it, and I think some of you just sang it. So but before today. All right. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Song has a good message. Matter of fact, it's a sermon all in itself. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 20. We're going to read down through verse 27. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27 this morning. verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Be with those maybe in our congregation today that are hurting. Lift them up and encourage them, Lord, we pray. Be the God of all peace and give comfort and peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we we pray that you would be with those today that are struggling with sin, that you give them hope, and that you would show them how they can have victory in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there be one here that's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord, that this would be their day of salvation and they would come to you to be saved and forgiven and receive of your love and grace the gift of everlasting life. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ our Savior and what you've done in our heart. You have changed it and you've changed our eternity. But Lord, help us to be diligent today to keep our heart pure. Lord, to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, to grow and mature more and more each day. Through your word and the knowledge and love of our Savior. Grant us wisdom and understanding today, and may you be glorified and magnified in all that's done in this place. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So we're focusing on verse 23. Verse 23 we looked at last week. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Writer of Proverbs, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is instructing us here, challenging us to keep or to guard our heart with great effort. It is worth it. It is necessary. We must learn to guard or keep our heart. Like a watchman that sat on the top of the tower of the walls of a city, who watched diligently and vigilantly to make sure there was no enemy approaching the walls that could come in and bring harm to the people of the city or conquer the city. He had a very, very important job to sound the alarm whenever the enemy appeared. We are to guard our heart. We are to keep watch over it. We are to sound the alarm. We are to keep out the enemy from defiling our heart, leading us astray, defiling our mind. We are to guard our heart. We are told to protect it. The word keep also means to protect it or preserve it, because it is of great value. If you have something of great value in your home, you might have something called a safe. You put it in there because you want to keep it what? safe because it is of great value. Your heart is of greater value. There's nothing you can possess that is in your home that is of greater value than your heart and the hearts of your family members. We must keep our hearts safe. We must protect them against the enemy, against Satan, who would want to defile our heart and turn it away from our God, to confuse our mind and to corrupt our way. So we protect our heart. We guard it. Our heart represents who we are, our mind, will, and emotions, the seat of who we are really inside. We look at one another and I know you from what I see, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the what? On the heart. And that's who we really are. And we are to keep our heart, who we are on the inside. We're to do it with all what? Diligence. Make all effort. Why? Because it's worth it. Because it's necessary. Anything that is of value is going to demand effort. And our heart is worth the effort. We unfortunately see the result today of many who have not guarded or kept their heart, who have not turned their heart over to the Lord. And we see the result in our society. We see the violence. We see the hate all around us today. We see those who are lost in immorality, those whose lives are destroyed by drugs and alcohol. What is the problem? The problem is not the culture so much. The problem is not the leaders so much. The problem is not the education so much, even though all those things are involved. But the real problem is man's what? The real problem is man's heart. And sometimes even Christians find themselves in places and with habits and having made decisions that are destructive and corrosive because they haven't been guarding their what? Their heart. Why should we guard our heart with all diligence? Because, as it says here, it is the source of our what? It is the source of the issues of life. The things we do, the thoughts we have, the attitudes that we express, the decisions we make, the actions we take, our love. Those all come from where? They come out of our heart. And if our heart is full of hate, is your life going to be full of love? The answer is no. If our heart is full of violence, then our life is going to express that violent attitude. If our heart is full of hopelessness and despair, then your life is going to reveal that and be a life of hopelessness and despair. We must keep our heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 12. He says, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things." It all depends on the condition of your heart. Jesus said to His disciples concerning the Pharisees and others, He said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now on the outside, the Pharisees tried very hard to hide what was in their what? What was in their heart. To be pious and follow the laws. They didn't like Christ because Christ exposed them for who they were. They were hypocrites. And the problem was in their heart. And eventually, no matter how hard they tried to hide it, the heart will reveal itself. Jesus said to his disciples, "By their fruits you shall know them. They may say one thing, but if they do the opposite, then what's in their heart is not what they're telling you." Because the heart will eventually reveal itself. So many times today in our society, our focus is on the outward behavior. Oh, we got to stop these kids from being hyper or talking back or talking in class or, you know, so what do? Well, they must have ADHD, and so we give them what? We give them medication, or we go through some program because the problem's a behavioral problem. The problem is with the heart. The Bible says foolishness is bent up, is in the heart of a child. A child is naturally foolish. You have to teach them. You have to train their what? You have to train their heart. So when they get older, now obviously there's kids that have excessive issues and mental problems. Yes, that does happen. But the main problem and issue today is a problem of the heart. But we treat it on the outward. We send people to a 7, 10, 12-step program to treat their drug addiction or their alcohol addiction. So they might not be an alcoholic or a drug addict anymore. But there is a greater need than just stopping drinking or stopping doing drugs. They have a sinful condition that needs a spiritual problem. It's a problem of the what? It's a problem of the heart. And if you fix the heart problem, then the other problems will fix also. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you fix the heart problem, if somebody becomes a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, then it will begin to change their desires. And eventually, they will get victory over those things in their life if they'll draw close to the Lord. Why should we guard our heart with all diligence? Because out of it are the issues of life. How are we to do that? And that's what I'm going to focus on for the next few minutes today is this. How are we to keep or to guard our heart? Because, you know, it's a good thing to preach the word and say, this is what you got to do. You got to keep your heart. You got to guard your heart with all diligence. That's good. You need to know that. You need to do that. But God doesn't leave us hanging. He tells us in His word how to do that. And that's what we want to focus on today. I want you to know how to keep your heart, how to guard it, how to protect it, how to keep it safe, how to keep it from being defiled and corrupted by the things of the world that would lead you astray, that would rob you of your joy and your peace and your testimony. It says in verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." What is the writer here doing? He's telling us how. Put away from you those who speak with perverse lips, who tell us things and advise us in things that are contrary to the will of our God. Keep our eyes focused on that which is right. Don't allow yourself to be led astray by those things that are false. Our enemy is a deceiver, and he's very good at it. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus so that you can discern between that which is right and that which is false. Keep your mind filled with the Word of God. These are the things that tell us how we are to keep our heart. Number one on my outline here is this. In order to keep your heart with all diligence, you need to give your heart to who? You need to give your heart to God. In order to keep it, and this sounds kind of funny. In order to keep it, you need to what? You need to give it away. That's how you're going to keep it. The only way you're going to keep your heart from defilement and corruption and deceit is to give your heart to God, who can keep it for you. God says, if you will give me your heart, you can trust me. You can trust me. I will keep it. So step number one, you must give it to God. You must come to God. You must trust Him. Trust Him to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse your heart, to give you eternal life. You must put your faith in Him. Trust Him. You must give Him your heart. Paul expresses this sentiment in this verse in 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul had entrusted God with his heart, and he was fully assured and persuaded that God was able to keep it. It says, for which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that what? He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul says, I have entrusted God with my heart, my soul, my life, my eternity. And Paul says, I've given it to Him. Why? Because I know that He is able to what? He is able to keep it. If you are keeping your heart to yourself, if you have not given your heart to God, if you've not put your faith and trust in Him and allowed Him, entrusted Him with your eternity and your soul and your heart, then you're in trouble. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says our heart is deceitful and corrupt. And there's only one who can change our heart. There's only one who can keep our heart, regenerate our heart, cleanse our heart. And that is the one who hung on the cross, who gave His heart for who? He gave His heart for us. For He hath made Him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Have you come to Christ in faith? Have you given Him your heart? And if you have, are you trusting Him with your heart more and more each day? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you just look back a page or two there in your Bible, says, trust in the Lord with what? With all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Another translation is, He shall make thy path straight. You want to be on the right path? You want to be on the path that leads to everlasting life? You want to be on the path that leads to blessing and honor and righteousness? Then learn to trust who? Learn to trust God with all your heart. And when God's way seems to contradict your way, then you have to make a what? A choice. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust your way, or are you going to trust God's way? If you learn to trust God with all your heart, He will never, ever, ever lead you what? Astray. Never. We're led astray when we start listening to our feelings and our heart and our desires when they are contrary to God's word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Get God first place in your life. Make Him the highest priority, the most valuable person in your life. Because He is. He is your Creator. He deserves your worship and praise and service. He is your Savior. He gave His life for you. He is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful. He is the omniscient, all-knowing God. He is all-wise. He is all-loving. He is merciful and kind and just and holy. And He deserves my allegiance, my loyalty, and all my what? And all my love. He deserves to have first place in my life. If you're going to keep your heart, you have to give it to God. You have to trust Him to save you. You need to trust Him to lead you. You need to give Him first place in your life. You need to say with the psalmist in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my what? My heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. When you have decisions to make, when you have choices to make about what enters your heart, are you making those decisions based upon what pleases who? God, or what pleases your flesh? If you make the decisions on what pleases your flesh, you're going to make the wrong one. Now, you didn't make the wrong one on one account, I know, today. You know why? Because there's some people that aren't here today. Now, some of them might be ill today. Some of them may have had unforeseen obstacles that popped up in their path. But some of them just didn't feel like what? They just didn't feel like coming. And so they're not here. But you are. You came anyway. Because some of you didn't feel like coming either. But you came. You came. You made your decision based upon what pleases your Father in heaven. And you came. And there's many other decisions we have to make. And the Lord should be the one we seek to please. That the decisions we make would be acceptable in His sight. If you do those things that are acceptable in God's sight, if He is the one you want to please, then you're going to keep your heart from all kinds of bad stuff. If you'll just put God and His Word first. Give God your what? Heart. That's how you keep it. Number two. Fill it till it overflows with the Word of who? With the Word of God. In order to keep your heart, you need to fill it with that which gives it wisdom and peace and joy and hope. Fill it with the Word of God. Psalm 119. 9:11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. How do you keep your heart from being led astray? How do you keep it on the straight and narrow? How do you keep it focused on pleasing and honoring God? How do you guard it against wicked things that would come in and defile it and lead it astray? You keep putting in the what? You keep putting in the good stuff. And if you fill it up with the good stuff, there'll be no room for the what? The bad stuff. The bad stuff won't stick. There'll be no room for the bad stuff because you filled it up with the good stuff. Fill your heart with God's Word. If I fill this glass all the way up with water, is there room for anything else in it? If we'll fill our heart up with the Word of God and with God, there won't be any place for the bad stuff in our heart. You need to fill it up with that which is good, like you fill up your body with nutritious things. Fill up your heart with God's Word. It is food indeed. It is in spiritual food that will strengthen you and energize you in doing the will of God. You know, if you put good nutritious stuff in your heart, what does it do for your physical heart? It strengthens it. It keeps it what? Healthy. And if we put good stuff, nutritious stuff, spiritually in our heart, the Word of God, then what's it going to do? It's going to strengthen our spiritual heart and mind and soul. But we've got to put the good stuff in. If the only time you get, and by the way, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm excited that you're here today. I wish there were more people here today. But I'm excited that you're here today. But if this is the only time that you ever get fed from God's Word, then spiritually you're starving. You see, if you only ate physically once a week, you would be nigh unto death physically. You can't do that. You have to eat what? Every day. The same thing is true of our spiritual health and our heart. If we want it to grow strong and victorious, if we want to have hope and joy and peace, if we want to know God's will, then you got to read about it. And you got to put God's Word in your heart. It will strengthen you. Psalm 1 says that the wise man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate what? Day and night. It's always on his mind. He puts it in his heart regularly, and he thinks upon it as the days go by. And the more of you put God's Word in your heart, the more regularly you feast from His Word, the more it's going to stick in your heart and in your head, and it's going to guide your path, and it's going to keep you from sin and evil and from temptation, and it will bring joy and hope in the darkest of places. But starve yourself of spiritual nutrition, and you'll find you are weak against temptation, and you will find depression and despair overwhelm you when times get tough. You need to feast on God's Word daily. If you take your Bibles, turn if you would to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy had been an assistant to Paul. Paul had invited Timothy to join him as a young man in his ministry. And Timothy left his home in Lystra, in what today is Turkey. And he joined Paul in his ministry, and Paul taught him and trained him along the way. And he became a very valuable assistant in the ministry to the Apostle Paul. Paul would send him out on errands. He would send him with messages and letters to churches. And he would go and he would give the letter, and then he'd come back and he'd give a report to Paul, and then sometimes Paul would send another letter. Eventually, Timothy was sent to Ephesus to take charge as the pastor of the church in Ephesus that Paul had planted several years earlier. And Paul wrote two letters to Timothy to encourage him in the ministry. In 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the what? The Holy Scriptures, the Bible, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It all comes from God, and it's profitable, it's beneficial, it's useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works. Paul said to Timothy, don't be distracted by other things in your ministry and your service for Christ. Keep in the what? Keep in the Word of God daily. Hide it in your heart. Learn it more and more. It is profitable and beneficial to you and beneficial to who? To those to whom you minister. Keep, continue in God's Word. Fill yourself up with it. Fill yourself up today. Fill yourself back up tomorrow. If you fill yourself up today, you're still going to need to be filled up again what? Tomorrow. So keep filling yourself with God's Word. That is how you keep your heart. And then watch out for corrupting influences. Watch out. Guard your heart against corrupting influence. You see, it says in Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed, pressured into the image, the mold of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, be careful. Don't allow the world to pressure you into its mold, into its way of thinking. But cast off the philosophies of the world for the truth of the Word of God. For that which transforms and renews the mind after the mind of Christ in the way of salvation and in the way of your Creator. So watch out for corrupting influences. Colossians 2:8. Beware, Paul says, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who? Christ. There is a world out there, an academic world, especially in colleges and universities, an entertainment world, in music and TV, a literary world. There's a world out there that wants to fill your mind with things that are contrary to what? God's Word. That are contrary to that which is good and right. And it will pressure you. It will pressure you to conform. So beware of it. Beware of it. We are in a crisis today in our country and in the Christian church because we have not ourselves as churches and parents educated and prepared our children to battle with the corrupt philosophies of the what? Of the world. We haven't protected them and guarded them against the entertainment and the culture of our world. We haven't prepared them to deal with the vain philosophies that they will get in secondary and university education in this world. And they get led astray. Paul warned us. Beware the world, the unsaved world, the secular humanist world that we live in is going to try to spoil your mind and heart and lead you astray. 1 Timothy 6:20 says this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? What's that word? Let me hear it. Science. Oppositions of science, what? so-called science. Okay? Is that an issue in our world today? Our academia is full of scientists. I was a physics major in college for the first 2 years I was in college. I like science. It's a hobby of mine. And on my Facebook page, when science articles pop up, I like to look at them. So now about every fourth thing that pops up on my Facebook page is something having to do with science. And sadly, much of it has nothing to do with science. It is the vain imaginations and babblings of people who don't have a clue what they're talking about. But people gobble it up and accept it. Why? Because it has that word what? Science connected to it. And hey, if it's science, then it must be what? True. When I was in high school, we got a set of World Book encyclopedias. And every year they put out a new science book. And for about 10 years, we got the next science yearbook. And why is it that the science book had to be republished and updated every year? Because man is growing and always changing in his knowledge and deduction of the world around him. And we find that often, a matter of fact, the majority of time, we're wrong. And that we have to update our thinking. Because we're in the process of what? Learning. And sometimes we get it wrong. A lot of times we get it wrong. Does this ever get it wrong? Does God ever get it wrong? No. Science is a good tool. It's a wonderful tool for us to learn about the world and how it works that God created. But it is a tool that can be used for good or that can be used for what? For evil. So Paul warns us in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Those two, the counsel of the world is almost always contrary to what? The Word of God. And blessed are those who can discern the good from the evil, who fill up on God's Word so they can see when the world is trying to lead them astray. Watch out for worldly philosophies. Watch out for ungodly companions. The Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, I don't have it up there, it simply says this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." What does that mean? That means is the people you surround yourself with, their attitudes, their actions, their thoughts, their beliefs are going to affect whose? They're going to affect yours. So we need to be careful who we surround ourselves with. Because if we surround ourselves with unbelievers, we surround ourselves with skeptics, we surround ourselves with scorners, we surround ourselves with those that are corrupt, it's going to rub off on who? Us. It's going to rub off on your what? On your heart. So how do you keep your heart? You choose your companions what? Well. Now, you don't always get to choose who you work with. You don't always get to choose other people, even relatives sometimes in your life. But you can choose who you spend the majority of your time with outside of those places. You can choose who you listen to. You can choose who it is that is important to you. You can choose who it is that fills your heart and mind. Choose wisely. How do you keep your heart? Choose godly companions. Flee worldly affections. If you play with fire, you're going to get what? Burnt. And if you play with worldly affections and temptation, if you don't say no, if you don't keep it at arm's length, it is going to burn you. it's going to burn you. I'm afraid in Christianity, our hearts today have been burnt by sin and temptation again and again and again because we invited what? We invited in. And we toy with wicked and immoral and filthy thoughts. We listen and tell dirty jokes. We listen to music and we watch entertainment and television and movies that excites the wrong part of us. And then we find ourselves in a place that we didn't imagine we would be. We find our heart is defiled and sin has burrowed in and made a stronghold where it does not belong. How do you keep your heart? You flee worldly affections. You don't toy with them. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee, avoid temptation and youthful lust. Run, hide, fight, give no quarter. Because if you give an inch, you can be sure that sin and Satan are going to take a what? They're going to take a mile. That is the way it works in this sinful world. So don't give a what? Don't give an inch. Take your stand. Take your stand with God. Contend for the faith. Flee temptation. If there's a particular temptation in your life, if it's what you watch on a TV or on a phone, then find some way to filter or get rid of that influence in your life. If it's what you hear from other people, then you might need to change some of your companions and who you hang out with. If you've got a problem with smoking or alcohol, then quit hanging out with people that are always smoking and drinking alcohol. Flee temptation. Don't toy with it because it will burn you. Keep your heart with all diligence. And finally, confess. Confess. When you fail. All of us fail sometimes. When you fail, talk to God about it. Tell God about it. Admit to God that you failed. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us and cleanse our heart from what? All unrighteousness. If you'll confess it to God, if you'll talk to God about it, if you'll admit to Him, I failed. I succumbed. I listened. I watched. I did. I allowed my heart to be corrupted. I didn't listen to you. If we'll go to God and we'll admit where we failed, then He will forgive us and He will what? Cleanse us. He will cleanse our heart. But if we hide it, if we're unwilling to admit it to the Lord, then it's like an infection. And what does the infection do? The infection grows. And our heart weakens. And our spiritual health fails. And we wonder why. And there's so many, many, many Christians who've lost their joy, who've lost their peace, who have lost their testimony, because they allowed sin to fester. There's an easy way, to get the infection out. God says, if you'll just come to me, I can do it. I can do it. I can give you victory. I can cleanse you. The blood of Jesus Christ not only wipes away the record in heaven against us, but it can cleanse us daily from our what? From our sin, and change us into the image of Jesus Christ. But you can't do that if you're not willing to confess where you failed. We have an altar call or an invitation at the end of our services. I would love to see people come forward and get on their knees and pray. But you don't have to do it up here. You can do it right there. But you need to do it. If the Lord puts His finger on something in your life, and you say, no, Lord, I'm just not going to deal with it. And tomorrow you say, oh, Lord, I'm just not going to deal with it. And the next day, oh, Lord, I'm just not going to deal with it. Eventually, it's going to destroy you. You need to confess it. You need to deal with it today. You need to guard your heart. You need to get the bad stuff out. You need to put the good stuff in. You need to guard it against corrupting influences. And if you haven't today, you need to give it to who? You need to give it to God. How are you doing? Are you willing to ask God to examine your heart? Psalm 139, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Would you invite God today to search your heart? And as He does, would you be willing to confess if there's something there that doesn't need be? Or if you've not been diligent about keeping your heart, and ask Him to help you. Does He have your heart? Does He have you? You can give Him your heart today. You can trust Him today and be saved. And will you be diligent to keep it, protect it, and guard it, and fill it with the truth? I cannot do that for you. All I can do is stand up here and give you the message of God's Word and pray that you do it. But only you and only I can choose to do it for ourselves with God's grace and help. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You. Thank You that You've changed our heart, who know You as Lord and Savior. You've given us a new heart. But Lord, our new heart is still susceptible to the corrupting influences of sin and Satan, the world around us, if we're not willing to keep it and guard it against those things. And Lord, I pray that we would, with all diligence, see the need of guarding our heart and filling it with God's Word and loving You, putting You first place, so that You can transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, to the mindset of Christ and of God, and not of the world around us, so that You can fill us with joy and peace and hope and love that belong in the heart of Your children. Lord, I pray if there's some here that are struggling with something today, I pray, Lord, that they'd be willing to confess and go to You with that thing. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's never trusted Christ as Savior, that as we give this hymn of invitation today, that they would come. I'd love to step down from this pulpit and share with them how they might be saved and know it. That You might give them everlasting life and cleanse the record in heaven of all their sins. Lord, thank You. May Your will be done. May You work mightily today within our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.